Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see all of you. Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms here in the Centerville campus and at Classics and Springboro and Northmont. We're so glad that all of you could be here on a special day. We'll discover today as we get into our Bibles and look, because we're going to be talking about moms. Actually, we're going to be talking about dads too. We're going to be talking about parents, but we're going to focus specifically on moms. Hallmark is not the reason why we celebrate a Mother's Day. It actually comes right out of the Bible, and we'll see that today. But Mother's Day is a little bit of a complicated day, because the reality is some of us are like, wow, we want to celebrate our moms, and it's an exciting day, and we want to get on the phone and talk to our moms and so forth. For others of us, we've had a struggle in a relationship with our mother, and so Mother's Day kind of brings that up again, and it's a little complicated. We'll get into that today and figure out how we can navigate that. For some of us, we've lost our moms. And it's really hard because we reflect and we want to contemplate. And those are all great things to do, because Mother's Day is really a time for us to do all of that as we're thinking about our moms today. You know, it's interesting when you look in Scripture, you see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks to this guy named Timothy. And he writes a letter to him, and he talks to Timothy as sort of his mentee, and he's mentoring this guy who's a pastor, a young pastor, and he tells him, he said, you know, your faith is pretty clear, but it's clear because of your mom. It's clear because of your grandmother. There was a trajectory, a pattern that was there that listed for them, and so we see that in 2 Timothy 1. It says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Paul says, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now it lives in you also. And so we see right in Scripture that the family is really important. Moms, you are critical to the life of your children. My mother was critical to my upbringing, and I'll tell you some things about my mom this morning. And I talked with her this morning at 6:30 in the morning, and I called her, and I just wanted to make sure that I started the day out and said, Mom, I just want you to know that I want to honor you today, and I love you, and I'm so happy for the life that we've had together. And it's not been an easy life, but it's been a good life, and we'll talk through some of that as well today. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians, because Ephesians is in the New Testament, and Paul talks about families. He talks about moms. He talks about dads. And he mentions something in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 2 and 3, actually. There's some really important things that we need to learn here and remind ourselves. You probably, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard these verses before. But we're going to look at them, and we're going to uncover them a little bit and maybe dig a little deeper so that we can really figure out what this means for us in our life, particularly on a day like Mother's Day. We had a couple, by the way, yesterday that had a baby, Adam and Lindsay. They had a baby, a brand new son, and they named him Hudson. And so this is a brand new day for them, and they have no idea what they're in for. Am I right, parents? And it's an exciting time for them as well. Ephesians chapter 6, here's what it says. You've heard this. Honor your father and mother. Would you say that with me aloud? Here we go. Let's say it together in all of our campuses, Classic, Springboro, Northman right here. Let's say it together. Honor your father and mother. I'll stop there for a second. This is not a suggestion. This is not a Hallmark card. This is not something that Paul is suggesting to us. This actually goes back thousands of years to Exodus chapter 20, and you can write that right in your Bibles, and some of you probably have that right there in the notes of your Bibles. It goes all the way back to God's commandments. One of his 10 commandments, one of the top 10 things that he wants for you and I is to honor our family, our mothers and fathers. Our family structure is so important, believe it or not, in understanding who God is and the love of God. Reconciliation, figuring out how to get along with people. So you don't get to choose your family. You might choose your friends, but you don't get to choose your family. They're just given to you, right? And so he says right here, going all the way back to Exodus, going all the way back to what Jesus says, because Jesus talked about parents. And he says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So let's take a look at the promise. It's in verse 3. You want to see this. Because if you and I carry this out, if we live out this promise, this command rather, there's a promise for us in verse 3. Here's what it says. So that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. What an incredible command that Jesus gives to us and that Paul gives to us, that God gave to the Israelites back in Exodus, which is for us today, that you and I are to honor our mother and father, no matter what the relationship is, whether it's great or whether it's a struggle or whether you've lost your mom. We'll talk about how to honor your moms if they're gone. This is a command that God gives to us. And in fact, the command is really important because if you and I carry this out, if we figure out what honor means and how to honor our mother and our father, if we carry this out, it has a promise for us that life will go well for us. I'll tell you later about some statistics. It's amazing that life goes better for us if we honor our mother and our father. And then it says we'll have a long life. I mean, what a great promise that is, that you and I, as we honor our family, as we honor our mothers, as we honor our moms and dads, that we'll enjoy long life. My mom was an incredible influence in my life. In fact, I want to show you a picture of my mom. I'm going to put it on screen for you. That's my mom. Her name is Barbara. And she was born in New York. She has a little bit of a New York accent. She was born on Long Island, in Port Washington, Long Island. Her mom, my grandmother, was the postmaster of the little post office there in Port Washington. And I used to love going to her house and smelling the cooking that was happening in the kitchen. And my mom loved me. I'll be honest with you, and I hate to say this in front of a bunch of guys here, but I'm a mama's boy. And I love my mom, and my mom had such a big influence. I remember my mom playing games with me, and that's why today I love to play board games with my family, because my mom sat down and we played all kinds of games like Monopoly and all kinds of games. We played them. My mom would take me outside and she would practice kicking the ball with me. That's why I love soccer, because we would go outside and we'd kick the ball together. My mom would take care of me all the time. I remember her coming in almost every single night, and she would sit on my bed and she would pray for me. I remember when I was real young that I was scared one evening in Indonesia. We were living in Indonesia at the time, and I remember laying against the wall because the brick wall kept me cool. In Indonesia, if you've ever been there, it's about 100 degrees and about 100% humidity, and I would lay with my back against the cement wall because that's all we had in our house at the time, and it would keep me cool. And I remember being afraid one night, and I ran to my mother's room, and she brought me back to my bed, and she said, "Put your back against the wall," which I did because it kept me cool, and then she said, "Let me pray for you." I still remember that prayer. And my mom prayed that God would give me peace and strength. As a little tiny boy, she was very influential in my life. My mom was a person that loved and strived for excellence in her life. When she would set the table, she would want to do it with excellence. I mean, she had the silverware exactly lined up and the plates, and I still remember she put flowers, and she wanted to make sure that the tablecloth was perfectly ironed and so forth. She had a passion for excellence. She also had a passion for people. My mom, I used to watch her with people, and she would talk with people, and if she was talking with you, it was as if no one else was in the entire world. She would lock eyes with you, and when she would lock eyes with you, you were the only person on the planet, and it was so encouraging to see that she gave you eye contact, and I remember that as a kid. My mom was an outgoing personality. She was this individual who just was always, nobody was a stranger for her. She always wanted to meet new people and talk to new people. And she had focused attention in her life. She knew how to get something done. She was very focused in her life. My mom loved to travel. And part of the love that I have in my life to travel is because of my mom. She loved to travel. She loved to experience new things. She loved to experience new places. My mom had a love for God. Even though there was brokenness in her life, and actions that were less than favorable for her in her life, I knew that my mom loved God, and I knew that even today that she struggles with the mistakes that she's made because of her great love that she has for God. My mom was a great influence in my life. 2 months ago, out of the blue, I got a letter from my mom. Out of the blue, just completely out of the blue, two months ago. And, you know, and I was thinking about this message for Mother's Day, and 2 months ago I get this letter, and so here's what it said. It's just a small little letter. It's almost a declaration, really, and at the top it says, "When you arrived August 14th, 1960, I'm not going to let you figure out how old I am. When you arrived on August 14th, God gave me this verse, 1 Chronicles 29:19, and it reads, "And give to David, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things to build the kingdom of God, which God has made provisions for." And then she went on to encourage me, which I'm not going to read for you because it's just for me. And she wrote some encouraging words for me in this letter. At the end, she said, "Let no man own you. Be his kingdom man. Be his messenger. Be his friend forever and allow his presence to be yours. And then she says, I love you, son. And she signed it Barbara Baron Smith. And underneath in quotes, she writes, mother, like I didn't know. My mother had a great influence in my life. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, and you go back all the way to Exodus chapter 20, a question can kind of arise, and the question is this: why did God command this? Why would God command that you must, not sort of, not should, you must honor your mother and father? Why would God give this command? Let me suggest three things for you, and then we're going to get into the process of how we can honor our mother and father. And we want to celebrate moms today, specifically, at the end of our service here together in all of our campuses. But why did God give this command to us? Let me suggest three things for you. Number one, I believe that God gave this command to us because parents are very, very influential, and we ought to honor the people who are influential in our lives. Our parents shape our lives. Our mothers shape our lives. You are who you are, whether good or bad, because of your parents. Your parents and my parents have shaped us in so many ways. Our parents have given us more than just genes. They've given us an outlook on life, and they've either affirmed or discouraged the interest that you have in your life, the abilities that you have, or the aptitudes that you have in your life. You begin to see the world very differently because of your parents. The outlook that your parents had influences us and is a huge influence in our lives. They either appreciated and praised you, or they ignored and belittled you. And either way, there's a command: honor your mother and father. So our parents has given us a view of authority. You either respect and accept authority today because of your parents. See, children learn from their parents that there are certain lines that need to be drawn in our life, and certain expectations that we ought to have, and certain ways that we ought to relate to those in authority over us, such as teachers and coaches and employers and officials and the people that God puts in our lives, and ultimately God. Parents do that. Moms do that. See, our parents shape our values. Values that you have in your life. If you value success, chances are your parents valued success. If you're a person who is tight with money, chances are you had a parent who was probably tight with money. My mom was not tight with money. If you value education, chances are your parents valued education. If you have a genuine growing relationship with Jesus, chances are at least you know that in your life, and you're wrestling with that, and either you're following along in that, or maybe you've stepped aside and you're considering what it means to come back and be in a stream and a journey of growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, our parents are very influential. I love jazz because my dad loved jazz. I used to hear my dad playing jazz all the time, and I love jazz. Anybody else love jazz, right? Some of you love jazz. And I love hearing it because it reminds me of my dad. I remember my dad listening to, anybody remember Chet Atkins? Remember that guitar player, right? Some of you know that. Some of you under 30 are going, who? And I remember my dad playing that kind of music, and I valued that. It's interesting, when I look at my own life, I value excellence. Is it any wonder? My mom did. I have a passion for people. I love people. And that's why here at Fairhaven Church, I'll be honest with you, it's been a struggle for me individually. I'm just taking responsibility for my own feelings here. It's been a struggle for me personally that Fairhaven Church has grown, because that means that many of you I don't know, and I don't like that. And yet we want to reach this community, and we want to make sure that every person hears about Jesus. Are you with me, church, right? In all of our locations, we want to do that. And yet I have a passion for people. I want to know people. I want to know your story. I love to spend time with people. I have an outgoing personality. Part of that, I believe, is because of my mom, watching her and how she related to strangers in her life. Focused attention, travel, I've already mentioned. And I do have a love for God. And I believe part of that's my parents. And so our parents are very influential. Do you know that studies show that people who get along with their parents have less stress in their lives? You know that? That's what studies say. Dallas Willard writes a book, and when I read this quote in the book, I thought, you know what? I need to do something about Mother's Day. And we need to speak and we need to remind ourselves of this command that we find in Exodus and in Ephesians chapter 6. In his book called The Divine Conspiracy, this is what he says, quote, "A long and healthy existence requires that we be grateful to God for who we are. And we cannot be thankful for who we are without being thankful for our parents. Through whom our life came, we cannot reject ourselves and love God. There's a deeper meaning that I hope we can get to here today in terms of honoring our parents, no matter what the relationship is that we have with them." One of the reasons why God gave us his command is because parents are influential. Here's the second reason I believe God gave us his command, because parents are imperfect. They're imperfect. And Mother's Day is about mothers who aren't perfect, right, ladies? There are no perfect parents, there are no perfect moms, there are no perfect dads. And I believe that God gave us this command because it's one way that we can encourage our parents. As kids, we can encourage our parents and because our parents are not perfect. I remember when Kathy and I got married, our first 3 years of marriage, it was interesting. As a young couple, we were watching other couples as they were beginning their families. And what I noticed about us in the discussions that we had when we hung out with, you know, our friends who already had kids, we were expert parents. Until we had kids. Are you with me, parents? Right? I mean, it's been said, someone once said, the moment that you have children, you forgive your parents, right? And those of you that are parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, if you look at it again, I want you to notice it doesn't say, honor your mother and father if they've done a really good job. It doesn't say that. It says, honor your mother and father. And life will go well for you, and you'll live long. See, this command is based on obedience, and it's based on our relationship with God. It's based on the fact that if we want to obey God, then that's how we'll, or one of the ways that we'll enjoy a life that God has for us, as we honor our mother and father. Here's the third reason why I believe God gave us this command. It's because parents deserve it. Parents deserve it. Moms, you deserve honor today, and we want to honor you. And hopefully the day has already started for you in some sort of honor in your lives. Whether they're great parents, or whether they're just good parents, or whether they've been hard parents, or whether they've been terrible parents, make sure that we catch this, church, in all of our locations. Honor is about recognizing the position of mom and dad. Honor is about recognizing that God wants to do something in our lives with the people who are in authority over us. Honor is far deeper than just giving them a rose or a flower of some kind or a card on Mother's Day. Hopefully we'll do that, but we need to go beyond that. Honor is much deeper than that, because honor is acknowledging that God gave us the opportunity to choose, that you get to choose to honor your mother and father. No matter what's going on, you get to choose to honor them. You see, Dallas Willard, I think, is right. When we reject our parents, we reject ourselves. And when we reject ourselves, it's very difficult to love God. It's no wonder that God gave us his command, because parents deserve it. See, the word honor, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is a very important word for us to understand. In the Old Testament, honor means to give weight. It means to give them esteem in their lives, to elevate them to a place of importance. In the New Testament, honor means to prize them, to hold them up as a prize in your life. But I want you to notice something in Ephesians 6:2. It also doesn't say that this command is just for kids. Have you noticed that? This is not just for kids who are in middle school and high school and elementary. So you'll notice that there's no time limit on this command. It says, honor your mother and father. There's no time limit here. In other words, there are ways that we can honor our parents that change over time. Let me rehearse a couple of those with you, if you don't mind. Just to get our minds and hearts thinking about today and maybe even beyond today of how we can honor our parents. See, it depends on what stage of life you're in. So if you're here and you're under the age of 13, then you're a kid. Is that okay to call you a kid? You're under the age of 13. Here's how you honor your parents, kids. You obey them. In fact, Ephesians 6:1 tells us that you ought to obey your parents. I want you to notice, though, that they're not connected, because honor goes beyond obedience, but that's one of the ways that you can honor your parents. Kids, if you're under 13, pay close attention, that the way you honor your parents is to obey them. And parents would agree with me, right? That obedience is not only action, it's attitude, right? Kids, your attitude matters almost more than your actions. And both of them are so important in your life. And so one of the ways that you can honor your parents is that you can obey them. And parents, we ought to encourage our children to understand this commandment in light of that, that obedience is not because we want to make sure that they do this thing or that thing. It's about authority in their life. It's about love in their life. It's about the way they can honor. If you're a young adult, if you're 19 or older and you're a young adult, you ought to appreciate your parents. That's how you can honor your parents. You can appreciate them. Because what happens is when you become 19 or a little bit older, it's natural, in fact, it's even good, to notice that there's an increasing independence that you want in your life. And in the next couple of weekends, we have many college students that are graduating and are becoming young adults, and they're going to get their own jobs, and hopefully they'll move out, right, parents, and get their own jobs. And as young adults, we need to understand that as they have this increasing desire for independence, it's important to honor your parents. And the way to do that is to appreciate them. Many of us at 19 think we know better than our parents do. Been there, right? Been there and done that. Proverbs 6 says this, "My son, my daughter, obey your father's commands, and don't neglect your mother's teaching. Keep their words always in your heart, tie them around your neck. Whenever you walk, their counsel can lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. And when you wake up in the morning, they will advise you." See, if you're a young adult, one of the best ways that you can honor your mom and dad is you can appreciate them. You see their weaknesses, you see the hang-ups, you see their idiosyncrasies. Church, there's a very good reason why I tell stories about my four sons, but never give them the microphone. They know me better than anyone. They know my weaknesses. They know my idiosyncrasies. They know my hang-ups. That's family, right, church? That's family. See, family knows us better than anyone. Proverbs 23 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother's experience when she is old. Get the truth and don't ever sell it. Also, wisdom, discipline, and discernment, the father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure it is to have wise children. So give your parents joy," Solomon says. "May she who gave you birth be happy." Moms, may you be happy today in the children that you've given birth. See, young adults, one of the ways you can honor your parents is you can appreciate them. And if I haven't convinced you already, let me try another angle. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, from the age of 0 to the age of 18, it costs parents $304,480. So young adults, you are expensive. And that ought to cause you to want to honor your mom and dad. $300,000 it takes to raise somebody, you know, to the age of 18 in our culture today. As young adults, we can appreciate our parents. What about us adults? What about those of us that have our own kids now and our parents are aging? Or what about those of us that our parents are gone and we don't have them anymore? See, as adults, we can provide for our families. We can provide for our parents. One of the ways that we can honor our moms and dads, as they age, we can provide emotional support for them. We can provide mental support for them. We can provide financial support for them. And I would even say to you that if you've lost your mom or you've lost your dad, a day like today brings that memory to real life. And here's what I would say to you. Honor your mother and father. And you know how you can do that? You can honor their memory. In fact, you can honor their legacy. And today, why don't you take some time today and think through the legacy in which they left for you and honor that legacy. Live that out in your life. Choose the best parts of your parents and live those things out. And that's how we can honor our mother and father in our lives. Honoring, though, isn't a few things. And it might be helpful for us today if we not only talk about why God gave us this command, but take a look honestly about what honoring isn't about. So let me give you a couple things to think about when it comes to honoring. It might be helpful to know that honoring isn't agreeing with everything that your parents say. It's not agreeing with everything. It's the ability to listen carefully and to be obedient as a child. And as we age and we become adults with our parents, we have to respect them. In fact, the second one is honoring isn't feeling respect. It's giving respect to them. They deserve it, right? So it's giving respect to our parents rather than just feeling respect. Honoring isn't making yourself vulnerable to hurtful behavior. If you've experienced hurtful behavior from your parents, I'm not suggesting that you make yourself vulnerable to that again. What I'm saying is that you figure out a way that you can live out this command to honor your mother and your father in order that life would go well for you and that you can live long. Honoring isn't ignoring or denying the past. It's not ignoring what's taken place. As I think about my mom, there has been some very, very hurtful things, and I'm not ignoring that. I'm not denying that at all in my life, but I still want to honor her. In fact, I would say that honor is a process, and I want to suggest, because of Dallas Willard, he suggests that the process of honoring our mother and father is, in fact, a process, and some of us can go quicker in this process. If your parents were fantastic, and if you're in your eyes they were perfect, awesome, because you'll go faster through this process. But some of us who've had hurt and pain, and how do we navigate the hurt and pain and yet also love our parents and navigate the fact that we want to honor them and follow through with this command? How do we do that? It's a process. I'm going to give you three things to think about, and then we'll end here today, and then we want to end by honoring moms here. Here's the first part of the process of honoring, and that's being honest without pretending. Being honest about your parents without pretending. I love my mom. I love what she's invested in me. I love how she's taught me. I love the things. But I have to tell you, and you've heard some stories, there's been pain. There's been broken trust. There's been infidelity. There's been problems. And I'm here today to tell you that I want to honor my mom, and I'm willing to do it honestly. I'm not going to pretend that that didn't happen. I'm not going to pretend that those things weren't there. It was a struggle for me. There was a year and a half where I didn't have any conversation with my mom. And it wasn't my choosing. My mom was going through a very difficult time in her life. I'm not going to go into details, but she was going through a very difficult time in her life, and she ran, and she knew that I would come after her. And so she didn't tell me. I had no idea where she was for a year and a half. And I was hoping and praying one day, because I'm a mama's boy, and I love my mom, and I was hoping that we would be able to reengage. And a year and a half later, she called me, and she told me where she was. And I got in my car that afternoon, and I drove 27 hours and was at her doorstep the next morning. And I said, "Mom, what's going on?" So there was pain. There was difficulties that were there. But see, the process of honoring is being honest about that without pretending. Here's what I want you to do. Would you take your Bibles? You're in Ephesians. Why don't you go to the right? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see something really interesting in Hebrews chapter 11. In all of our campuses, would you just turn with me to Hebrews, your devices? Hebrews chapter 11. It's to the right in your New Testament there. I want you to see something in Hebrews chapter 11. Many have called Hebrews chapter 11, the entire chapter, a hall of fame. A hall of faith, rather, where the people in all of Scripture, in all the Bible that we've been given, that listed for us in Hebrews chapter 11 are men and women who exemplified great faith in their life. And the writer of Hebrews lists some people. If you look down at verse 7, you see Noah. But you need to understand that the people that read this in the first century, they knew. They knew Noah's story. See, there was a time when Noah got drunk, and there was very, very inappropriate behavior on his part as a parent. And no one was, you know, ignoring that. No one was pretending that. And yet Noah is listed as a man of faith. Jump down to verse 8, Abraham and Sarah. They're listed as a couple, a married couple of faith, and yet they laughed at God when God promised them a son. In fact, Sarah took matters into her own hands, and many of you know that story. No one's ignoring that. The people that read this in the first century, they understood that. honesty without pretending. You can jump down to verse 20. Isaac played favorites with his children. Jacob stole the birthright of his son in verse 21 and yet played favorites just like his dad did. You can jump down to verse 23. Moses' mother put him in a basket and sent him down a river. Talk about abandonment issues. There's all kinds of things that we could look at there. What about Samson? Samson's mentioned in Hebrews 11. Samson broke God's law. David is mentioned. He committed adultery. What about Rahab? She was a prostitute, and yet all their names are listed there, and the writer of Hebrews is not ignoring, the writer of Hebrews is not overlooking it. What he's saying is, let's be honest without pretending, but let's look and see the good in people's lives. Let's see the value. See, honoring is never apart from being honest with who they are. A lady named Alyssa Morgan, some of you may have heard the name, she was the former president of MOPS, Mother of Preschools, and she wrote a book called The Beauty of Broken. And moms, I encourage you to read that as you're navigating what it means to be a mom and have kids and so forth. It's a great book if you're interested in understanding the brokenness in your own life, and I just suggest that you read that. But the first process of honor is honesty without pretending. Here's the second process of finding honor, and that is acceptance by forgiveness. Acceptance. See, acceptance is coming to terms with who our parents really are. Acceptance is not ignoring, it's not denying, it's not condoning. It's choosing to love them and to choose to will good in their lives. It's choosing to work for good in their lives. It's choosing to work for good for your mom and for your dad, no matter what the relationship is, as you work towards what could be good for them. That's how we honor. Family is a really interesting thing when you stop and think about it. It's no wonder that in the Bible, oftentimes the family is equated to the kingdom of God. In other words, in a family, you're put in this family. Again, you didn't get to choose them. You're put into this family. And it's in that family that you get to navigate pain and hurt and joy and success, and you get to navigate reconciliation of relationships. And even the Bible says that husbands ought to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and wives ought to submit. It's mutual submission, actually, that wives ought to submit because that's what Jesus did to the Father. And there's this family. And in the family unit, what we learn in the family unit is the lessons that are needed in life and in the kingdom of God for you and I to be a Christ follower. Romans chapter 15, 7 says this, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. So here's the question. How did Jesus accept you? Here's the answer. Just as you are. Just as you are. And that lesson is for us today, because as we think about accepting one another just as Christ accepted, I want to tell you that I think moms are the greatest human examples of that. You see, moms allow their bodies to be borrowed for 9 months. Moms allow their lives to be interrupted in loving and raising. Moms give first and take second. Moms stand up for us. Moms stand in the way to protect us. Moms stand in our corner. Moms root for our success. Moms pull strengths out of us. Moms give us courage in life. Moms cheerlead all of our endeavors. Moms always lead toward optimism, and moms refuse to give in or to give up. Moms are a great example. And we should honor you moms. It's so important. See, acceptance is letting go of our tendencies to judge and our tendencies to condemn and even the tendency to distance ourselves from our parents. Honor your mother and father. Here's a third way in this process of honoring, gratitude. Gratitude. Now, some of us can get to gratitude faster than others. But there is a process of honesty and then acceptance and then gratitude. And that's what this day is all about. And that's really what this command is about. Gratitude, allowing us to stop demanding perfection out of our parents, but just being grateful, because gratitude is powerful. Gratitude goes deeper than just being thankful for something that we got from our parents. Gratitude is because of how we love them. Gratitude is being grateful for life itself. Every one of us has a mom and a dad. And we ought to be grateful for life itself. for the reality that can be had through restoration, to respect in spite of, to prize because of. And so here's the question that I would like you to wrestle with today, and the question is this: how can you honor your mom and dad? What would that look like for you in your life? Not just today, but in life. What would it look like for you to honor your mom and your dad? What I'd like to do now is, I'd like in all of our campuses, here at Centerville, those in Classics, Northmont, Springboro, I want to invite all the moms, listen carefully, I want to invite all the moms, all the stepmoms, all the foster moms, adoptive moms, surrogate moms. If you don't have children and yet you're a surrogate mom where you're helping, and I know families in our church family who step in the gap and help other families. If you're a surrogate mom, if you're a grandmother, I would like you to stand today. Would you just stand, all of you, moms and stepmoms and foster moms, and would you just stand in all of our campuses? Just, and we're not going to give them a golf clap. We're going to give them like a clap when Ohio State wins like the national tournament, okay? Church, are you with me on this? All right, here we go. Let's give thanks to God for these, our moms. If you'll remain standing for just a little bit, just stay standing in all of our campuses. I just want to speak to you moms. You're beautiful. You're incredible. You have such great influence. We're grateful for you in our church family. We're grateful for you in your individual families. We're grateful for you in the relationships that you have with your kids. And as you navigate them, we hope that you feel honored today. And as you leave in all of our campuses, we have a small gift that we want to just give you. Is a small way of telling you that we want to honor you, that we think you're valuable, that we want you to know that your value is found in God. That's the value that you find yourself. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we get on this day, on Mother's Day, to think about what it means for us to honor our moms and our dads. Specifically, though, on this day, we want to honor moms for all these ladies that are standing, for the years of sacrifice, and for the years of loving, and for the years of putting themselves second, and for the years of dedication. I pray that you would honor them and that you would bless them today. I pray that you would help in their relationships with their children, that it would be rich and full. I pray, Father, for strained relationships, that something would take place, that those relationships would move towards reconciliation. Father, we pray for many moms that are not standing now who are with you, who we've lost. And we ask, Father, that you would bring comfort and peace to those whose mothers are not here any longer. We thank you, Father. Thank you that we can take this time in our service of worship to honor our parents, to do exactly what you've commanded us to do, to honor our moms. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Please be seated.